It is a real pleasure on Static this evening to be joined from LA by Laura from Gelset. How's things?
They're great. Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
How's Los Angeles after the apocalypse, Laura?
You know, it's been a nice place to be just because we have such a mild winter. So I was happy that I was here and not in my previous home of Chicago where it was frigidly cold and things are just slowly opening back up. So it's all right.
A lot of solo producers I've spoken to have said it was almost like business as usual for them, not leaving the house and not interacting with other people. Was it like that for you?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty introverted and I do spend a lot of time alone, like at my computer, in my studio, doing solo activities. So I felt like I wasn't quite as affected as my extremely extroverted friends who live for performing and parties. And yeah, I feel like there was a real introversion, extroversion disconnect with the whole experience.
It was an introversion win, Laura.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting as well because you did allow someone else into the Gelset world for the first time in the creation of this new album that we've just got called Tone Invasion. And you had Noah Anthony, who's Profligate, do some mixing. So what was it like for you actually working more with someone else for a Gelset record?
Well, I was surprised by how much I loved it. So originally he was just going to mix the album and he had a few suggestions. And at first I was very closed off to his ideas without even hearing them. Just like on principle alone, I was like, no, I don't want a male to do any production on my album because I was just scared that people would think that because, you know, there is such sexism within the industry that people would think that he did more than he did. But his ideas were so good and he's such a brilliant producer and musician that I loved all of his ideas. So collaborating with him, it was pretty exciting actually to see that I could collaborate in a way that where I still felt like it was my own creation.
It must be a bit of a catch-22. You want to helm everything yourself, but it's also good to have that extra voice or someone to add a different perspective.
It's so necessary. Yeah, I feel like I get stuck in this DIY, like I need all the control, I have to do everything myself mindset, but that outside perspective is really important just for having someone to bounce ideas off of.
Well, you also laid down some rules, Laura, not to change things too much. You know, Noah had your explicit instructions to only mix the album at first, so I'm glad that you went into it gently.
Yeah, for sure. And he and I were real close, so I felt really comfortable voicing my honest opinion. And so some songs he did more than others, like on the album on like Love Problems, for instance, he took this really rough demo I had and he basically made that a cool song. But something like Feed Me, he mostly added to the vocal production style. So it varies from song to song what he did. In some songs he did some instrumentation, like in It Has Come to Our Attention, he wrote the bass line, which I think adds a little funkiness to the song, which is really good. So yeah, it was like just fun to have him do different things in different songs.
And so it was, as the album title suggests as well, Laura, a tone invasion, having someone come into your universe.
It's true. That's not why I named the album that, but it's funny that that sort of became what it was in the end. I mean, I've been doing Gelset since 2012, so for 9 years now, and the whole time I've adamantly been a solo artist, like, you know, at times when it was a detriment to myself, but I wanted to learn how to do everything. You know, I'm pretty self-taught with production, so I just felt like stubbornly working on things myself, I thought would be the best way for me to learn. I kind of, in retrospect, wish I'd been a little more open to help. But you know what? Now I am.
Well, you're right in thinking that and working that way too, Laura. I mean, you're not a novice. You're accredited. You've got a Master of Fine Arts from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, Department of Sound. And do you do sound design as a day job or sort of outside of Gelset stuff as well?
Well, I moved out to LA after I graduated with the intention of doing that. And I had a few freelance jobs, scoring, and I interned at this post-production audio studio, but I ended up just finding better jobs more in the video aspect of post-production. So I've been working in video for the past 4 years, but sound and textures and sound effects and creating atmospheres, like I love doing that. So yeah, I like using hardware and recording of real life things as in Foley. I just like all the...
So how finicky are you with your sound, Laura? Do you get irritated when you hear other artists with great songs that are poorly mixed or mastered? Is that like fingernails down a blackboard to you?
No, because I do. I guess it just depends. Because sometimes I feel like, you know, the lo-fi aesthetic maybe what one would call like a bad mixing or mastering. It kind of like adds to the charm or the vibe, just depending on what it is. I wouldn't say I am irritated when something's bad, but I would say when something's good, I feel it on a real visceral body level. Just like I have a real emotional reaction to it.
Well, there's plenty of reactions that we can get out of Tone Invasion as well. And thematically, this record lays down some ground rules and concepts too. I love that for someone who surrounds herself with electronics to create the gel set music, there's a lot of examination of the virtual or imaginary versus real life on this record, especially most obviously a song like Virtual Love, which is a weighing up of doing without human interaction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such a part of our daily existence now. I mean, and except for those living off the grid or people stubbornly adhering to like a more Luddite existence. But yeah, our relationships with our computers, our phones, the way digital media navigates our human-like interactions. Many artists have explored it before me, but I find it so fascinating the way it affects me and others.
And you've also put that into a sexualized form in that song, Laura. There's that line, run your fingers on my screen, which is a very intimate interaction with a computer.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like I have an intimate relationship with my computer and my phone. It's like I can't live without them, and I spend more time with them than with any other human. And, you know, when my laptop died recently, it felt like the loss of a friend. I mean, I do have a relationship with them for sure.
And when there are humans involved, a lot of this album is about exploring boundaries and regrets in regards to transactions with others. Both Feed Me and Love Problems examine self-esteem and love problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. I tend to poke fun at myself and my own foibles and relationships and interactions. And those two songs definitely like deal with that. Concepts of dependency and codependency and things that work and don't work in the realm of, relating to humans.
A lot of producers also use music to work things out. I mean, it is a good work through in some ways, putting those thoughts into a song and examining them, right?
It really is. Music has this magic ability to just cut straight to emotions in a way that intellectualizing or talking, I feel like, doesn't always. Music just has this direct connection to feelings. And so I feel like it can be real cathartic and therapeutic to, listen to music that channels a mood or create music that channels a feeling. It really does have a magical quality to it.
And it even channels a slogan on this album, Laura, because you've used Live, Laugh, Love as part of the lyrics of It Has Come to Our Attention, which in itself is a fascinating investigation because it's a completely empty and stupid mantra, but at the same time, it's sort of the most simple, positive idea imaginable.
No, it's true. I loved the idea of creating a song that had a driving energy, but had this empty mantra behind it, kind of this voice of the oppressor. That's why I modified my voice in that song, just because I wanted it to be this like oppressive voice, because that mantra can be kind of this slogan of this, toxic positivity, people call it, right? Just like the simplification of emotions and existence into these slogans. I also just love the idea of a dance song that had that as a slogan, and I was really afraid someone was going to beat me to that musical joke, but I'm not sure that anyone did.
I think you'll have to keep going on every record now. You have to do a Keep Calm and Carry On or something on the next record,
Yeah, good idea. I'll give you credit when I do that one.
Nice. And Laura, it's interesting to hear you talk about manipulating your voice, because there's a lot of that which twists your identity on this record too. You're really taken over by the machines on the closing song on this album, Where's My Freak, which has these pitched down vocals. It's almost like a gender flip.
Yeah, I really love really deep voices, and it's fun to be able to like embody that deep voice with a pitch shifter. I tried that song with my own voice, but I have such a soft, high voice that I felt like that femme energy didn't really, it just wasn't the vibe that was right for me for Where's My Freak. So yeah.
Well, it is, it's sort of role playing.
Absolutely, yeah.
We might have a listen to that song on the radio right now, actually. And here's hoping when every club opens up and you do leave the house, we can hear Where's My Freak in some strange dungeons at some point.
Wonderful. I hope so too.
It was great to talk to you on Static this evening. Laura, this is Gel Set Now with Where's My Freak. Thanks a lot for the chat. Look after yourself.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
It's been a long day. In fact, it's been a hard week.